It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I didn't need to go to black. I United States of America. And to the Republic. Well, what's a chance? The nation under God. And the reservoir of liberty. And this is the
All right, ready?
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Who was that little person? That was the grandson of Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. And reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and ending with liberty and justice for all. And of course, they were asking him to do that in the wake of General Flynn, the charges being dropped by the Justice Department. Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning. And yes, I have so much to tell you about some of the ins and outs of what's happened since we last spoke. There were 53 declassified testimonies, transcripts. They came from those Schiff interviews. You know, remember Adam Schiff did these secretive, locked away in the basement interviews with people connected to the so-called Russian collusion narrative? And Richard Grenell, who's been the director of National Defense, has declassified all those transcripts that Adam Schiff wouldn't declassify. He didn't want to. The information is just exploding as we are learning what people actually said under oath and how that contradicts what they have been saying publicly on television. We're going to talk about a lot of that in great detail today, and your mind will be blown and your ears will be blown back. And yet I have to tell you, you will feel in many ways that justice was done. We're getting just a little glimpse of justice. Now, how this is all going to play out, I don't know, and I'll talk about that. But this is just pretty thrilling, I have to say, that at least the truth is being told. I always feel that truth has a power of its own. It does. It just cuts through. And that's why even in a huge entity where one person, everyone else is bought into the lies or is cooperating or hushing up and not wanting to say anything, one person who's a truth teller is often the object of wrath by the powers that be. Just one person. They must be killed. They must be silenced. We must stop that one person. That's because truth just cuts through. It cuts through. And so that's what we're seeing. We're seeing truth cut through, and it's pretty interesting. Let me just say, Catherine Herridge, who's now with CBS, did an interview, long-form interview with William Barr, who's taking tremendous hit. Now the left is coming after him, saying he should be impeached. He's the attorney general. And I want you to hear just a little bit of it. This is clip 14.
In our exclusive interview this afternoon inside the Department of Justice, the Attorney General said he was obligated to drop the charges against the president's former national security advisor.
Our duty, we think, is to dismiss the case.
It's a stunning turn of events for Flynn, who in December 2017 pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his discussions with the Russian ambassador after the presidential election. Flynn was ultimately fired by the president about 3 weeks into the job, having also lied to the vice president about his contacts with the Russians.
Flynn lied, and it's like they ruined his life. It's very unfair.
But the department's filing says the FBI's interview with Flynn was unjustified and done without any legitimate basis.
A crime cannot be established here. They did not have a basis for a counterintelligence investigation against Flynn at that stage.
Does the fact remain that he lied?
Well, you know, people sometimes plead to things that turn out not to be crimes.
What should Americans take away from your actions in the Flynn case today?
I want to make sure that we restore confidence in the system. There's only one standard of justice.
President Trump, who has long claimed that Flynn was railroaded, called him a hero.
He was an innocent man.
Are you doing the president's bidding?
No, I'm doing the law's bidding.
You know you're going to take a lot of incoming, as they say in the military, for this decision.
I'm prepared for that. But I also think it's sad that nowadays, these partisan feelings are so strong that people have lost any sense of justice.
Flynn welcomed the news with a tweet of his grandson. And former FBI Director Jim Comey, who started the investigation into the president, voiced his displeasure on Twitter, saying the department had lost its way.
When history looks back on this decision, how do you think it will be written?
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history.
All right, that's just a portion of Catherine's interview with the Lieutenant General. No, sorry, wrong person. With Attorney General William Barr. Interestingly enough, that interview itself has become controversial because NBC ran it and ran it, as you just heard, where General Barr said to Catherine that history is being will be written by the winners. And then Chuck Todd, who was playing that clip, launched into General Barr and said it was sort of a shallow non-answer, but it wasn't the complete answer. The complete answer went like this. This is clip 16.
Well, history is written by the winner, so it largely depends on who's writing the history. But I think a fair history would say it was a good decision because it upheld the rule of law. It helped it upheld the standards of the Department of Justice, and it undid what was an injustice.
All right, so that is actually what General Barr said, but you won't hear that on NBC. You will hear the truncated version. And NBC actually has come out admitting that it has deceptively edited that clip of General Barr, but they say it on Twitter, I think. I don't think they've said it on the air, and that's the way this goes. Things are not reported correctly, so your friends and neighbors are not going to know exactly what General Barr said, but that is what he said. So we'll come back to that perhaps when we get into the longer discussion, but I want to move to what's happening in the country in regard to the shutdowns. Almost all of the states have opened up to some extent. Now, some are just doubling down. There's no question about it. We are learning more and more. Now, I've just got to choose which of these things I'm going to share with you. Let me share this one. We're learning more and more about what these death counts really are as states like New York are clamping down, other states in the Northeast, California. It's just amazing how they continue to claim that there are more and more deaths. And yet, let me just read this to you. This is from the Speaker of the House of Pennsylvania, Mike Terzai. And he says, sadly, 3,106 of our citizens have died due to COVID. The average age of those that have passed away is 79 years. To date, of these 3,106 deaths, 2,108 of these persons lived in nursing homes, personal care homes, and assisted living residences. That means that 67.9% of those who have died lived in these types of settings. Of the 3,106 persons who have died, 11.9% had comorbidities. In other words, things that made them more vulnerable. 22.7% had three comorbidities. 27.2% had two. All right, this is a lot of stats. In other words, almost all of them had other conditions that could have caused death. Of the 3,106 persons who died, 61% had hypertension, 54% had heart disease, and 37% had diabetes, 30% had chronic pulmonary disease. And then he goes on to say, according to the hospital and health system, in other words, most people were already sick with something that could have taken their life. And most of them died in nursing homes, of the ones in Pennsylvania. And we're going to get into the broader discussion in just a second. He says that in the hospital system in Pennsylvania, there are 37,000 beds. As of today, 2,572 of these beds were occupied by COVID patients, which is only 6.9%. There are only 539 patients in the hospitals on ventilators, which amounts to 1.46%. Hence, we chopped off our proverbial head to deal with a very defined and isolated problem. There's nothing unique about Pennsylvania. This is the story of nearly every state where 95 to 100% of the deaths were in nursing homes or among those with severe or several underlying conditions. And then this is Daniel Horowitz. This is part of an article that he's written. Remember the 15 days to flatten the curve? and ensure that hospitals weren't overrun? Well, outside New York City, they never even came close to being full. And now they're ghost towns. Nearly 2 months into this insanity that governors refuse to end, Minnesota destroyed its economy and healthcare system for an epidemic in which over 80% of the fatalities were nursing homes and 99.24% had underlying conditions. This is part of an article that Daniel's written called "This Letter from Pennsylvania's House Speaker Blows Up the Lockdown Lie." And then I want to read another article that Daniel has written. But in this article, he quotes a friend of ours, Phil Kirpin, who has been tracking these death numbers. We'll put that, both of these, by the way, on our Facebook. These are very, very important quantifiable problems. And this is the title of this one. Simple arithmetic demonstrates that the epidemic outside nursing homes is essentially over. So the Hartford Current reported that 90% of all deaths in Connecticut last week were in senior care facilities. I'm going to have to synthesize this. Phil has been counting these numbers and chronicling them in states and countries around the world. And we're finding out that it's the same thing. What they are saying now, I mean, Daniel is, and also Phil, is that these new deaths are occurring in nursing homes. So when these governors announce these increases in deaths, they're talking about nursing homes. Plus, looks like they are back counting. Going back and counting deaths from out of hospitals, and now going back counting them those doubly, like those people lived in nursing homes, but they went to hospitals and died. And so now they're going back and recounting those, and that's what's inflating these numbers. There's all kinds of chicanery going on just to keep the numbers going. Daniel has a complete expose on this, and I'm not going to be able to get into all of this, but let me just say... we know that the CDC ordered doctors to count people, even to just guess. If it's likely they died of COVID, count it as COVID. We know the numbers are being inflated. They're being inflated everywhere. And that changes everything about whether we should open up or not. In fact, now we know that Governor Newsom and also the governor of New York and other governors, as I said to you before, I think this is the most horrific thing out of the reporting, and they've reported it openly. They have ordered nursing homes to take COVID-positive patients. They cannot refuse people who have COVID. They've sent them into nursing homes, and now our elderly, our grandparents, our parents, our great-grandparents have been brutally treated. I mean by that, not beaten. I'm saying that they have been put at risk. We know that they're vulnerable. We know that they are, and yet they have insisted on putting COVID-positive people in these nursing homes, and that's where the deaths are coming from. That, to me, is not... I'm just saying, this is like murder to me. And while, you know, Andrew Cuomo gets up there and talks about one life matters, this is in reality what he's been doing. And so... also, then we get into the issue of Andrew Fauci. I could wax eloquent about this. Let me just say that you know that Fauci is trusted, according to polls, more than President Trump. We're learning so much more about him, in addition to the fact that he is authorized $3.7 million over a six-year period to go to that Wuhan lab, and we're learning more about that. They were doing studies there where they took these viruses and taught the viruses. Now, as weird as this sounds, I'm just saying what the scientists are saying. They taught the viruses, who in their current state were not infecting people because they came from animals. They were in the lab teaching those viruses how to attack animals. And people believe that are in the know that that virus, they were warned. In fact, there was an editorial in New York Times from other scientists who said, don't do this because there's danger of that escaping the lab and it could infect people. We know that Dr. Fauci is up to his ears in, I think, complicity, and this a very dangerous situation. In fact, I know that many of you have heard about Judy Mikovits. She was a person who did research in these viruses, and she's been on several videos. I've watched three of them, but Plandemic is a powerful one. We're going to put the link to that on our Facebook page because it will explain more than I can in this 30 seconds that I have. I'm going to return, though. I want to talk about the General Flynn situation more today because it is, and not just the General Flynn, but the whole Russian collusion nonsense. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning.
My name is Henry from the state of Virginia. My wife and I have just completed a 30-month journey with the state with multiple lawsuits for our small business. And everything in the end was that we were improperly charged by the state of Virginia. We already knew that. It was unbelievable how they drew it out. I just wanted to say that our foundation was our community and our faith. And without that, we would have not done so well. Here you guys with all your variety of storylines and people talking, Judeo-Christian foundation in our life is what kept us going. So thank you so much.
Join us for our three-day spring share-a-thon, May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And thank you for standing with American Family Radio.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for James F. Riley, Director of the United States Geological Survey. His organization studies the landscape of the United States, its natural resources, and the natural hazards that threaten it. Isaiah 55:12 reminds us that the earth is indeed God's creation. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to bless James F. Riley as he leads the U.S. Geological Survey. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Todd to the number 49596. That's Todd to the number 49596. A number of cities in California are housing homeless people in hotels. It's part of a mandate from Governor Gavin Newsom to secure more than 15,000 hotel rooms to shelter the homeless during the global pandemic. And they are rolling out the red carpet in San Francisco. The homeless in that city getting taxpayer-funded drugs and booze, methadone, marijuana, whatever your heart's desire, courtesy of the American taxpayer. The Los Angeles City Council approved a measure that would allow them to commandeer fancy hotels like the Ritz-Carlton and force them to house homeless people and drug addicts. The federal government has agreed to pay 75% of the cost associated with housing people in hotels. The homeless should indeed be provided emergency shelter, but that does not mean taxpayers ought to be forced to foot the bill for luxury accommodations, all-you-can-smoke weed, and turndown service. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course, of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
All right, that is Dr. Andrew Fauci, Lord Fauci, speaking on March the 8th. And he's saying that you don't have to wear masks. And now so many people are wearing masks and out of their minds about other people who are not wearing masks. That is such an important little clip. You do not need to be wearing masks. There's no evidence that masks help. It makes you feel better about yourself, but there's no necessity of wearing masks. That's Dr. Fauci, March the 8th. What's changed? Did masks suddenly become powerful? Did they suddenly develop into something different? I mean, I have seen videos of people, I've seen people go out of their minds screaming at other people for not wearing masks. It really is interesting to me. It's the psychology of this is very interesting. We could do a whole show on that, but I want to point you to an article that I find fascinating. It's called Reopen Society and Shut Down Moral Narcissism. And this is, there's another strain of this. Roger Simon has written a book called I Know Best, How Moral Narcissism is Destroying Our Republic, if it hasn't already. And Simon, Roger, describes it this way, moral narcissism as a far more lethal form, destroying our families, friendships, workplace atmosphere, and democratic republic. And this is how he defines it. What you believe or claim to believe or say you believe, not what you do or how you act or what the results of your actions may be, defines you as a person and makes you good. It is how your life will be judged by others and by yourself. If your intentions are good, if they conform to the general received values of friends, family, coworkers, what a person of your class and social milieu is supposed to think, everything is fine. You are that good person. You are ratified. You can do anything you wish. It doesn't matter in the slightest what the results of those ideas or beliefs are, or how society, the country, and in some cases, the world suffers from them. It doesn't matter that they misfire completely, cause terror attacks, illness, death, riots in the inner city, or national bankruptcy. You will be applauded and approved of. Moral narcissism. And I do think that's what we are seeing. Maybe we'll do an entire talk hour on that at some point. But I want to put that article on our Facebook page, Reopen Society and Shut Down Moral Narcissism. I do think that's what we're seeing happen as people feel scared to death and morally superior because they are taking these measures, whether they're wielding a, you know, extended 6-foot measuring tape over their heads to make sure people don't touch them, like the woman in the Wegmans in Northern Virginia, or wearing masks of various sorts, even scarves around their neck, thinking that they are protecting themselves and others, even though they're not, and not concerned about really what the facts are, but just what the appearance is. It really is, it's just kind of an amazing thing we see happening. And so I just wanted to share that with you. By the way, on Fauci, there's so much more to say about him, and I will get off track if I start that. But let me just say, the indications are that Anthony Fauci is a corrupt person, I'll say it, who has enriched himself through the patent system, who has a past of corrupt dealings about infectious disease. It wouldn't surprise you to think that the CDC and the National Institute for Health were corrupt, that they had become corrupted under the Obama administration. Would that surprise you? And under the Clinton administration, really? Would that be a stretch? All right, well, we'll talk about that at greater length, but not today. All right, I want to go back to what happened last Thursday, and Trace Gallagher is one of my favorite reporters, so let's listen to Trace kind of lay it out. This is clip 7.
If you're keeping score, this week was not a high point for the FBI. First, there were documents showing what many former federal prosecutors say was compelling evidence that General Michael Flynn was set up by the FBI. And we also got thousands of pages of House Intelligence Committee interviews showing that no one in the Obama administration or associated with President Trump could point to any direct evidence of Russian collusion. And nobody could verify or corroborate information in the now infamous Steele dossier that the FBI repeatedly used to obtain warrants to surveil a member of the Trump campaign. And yet one more shoe may soon drop. U.S. Attorney John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russia probe appears to be on the home stretch. As to whether the administration is mulling potential charges from that probe, White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said this.
There were some very, very questionable actions that happened in this case. I do think the American people deserve answers, but I leave it to the Justice Department as to how to get those answers.
And that Justice Department is now under fire from Democrats, specifically those on the House Judiciary Committee, who are now asking DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz to investigate Attorney General Bill Barr for, quote, improper political interference into several ongoing criminal matters against President Trump's allies. And finally, they say summers are for sequels. How about impeach the president part two? Democrats in the House Judiciary Committee have been seeking the redacted portions of the Mueller report, along with evidence from Mueller's grand jury proceedings. Turns out they need the documents for an ongoing impeachment investigation of President Trump. In March, a D.C. appeals court ruled in Democrats' favor, but now Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts has put the lower court order on pause, giving Democrats until May 18th to respond. Shannon.
All right. That was Trace from Fox News. All right. So this is very complex. We have talked about Lieutenant General Flynn a lot on this show. I don't expect you to be able to recite what happened to him, and I may not have a chance to recite the details today because this is a very big story with a lot of implications. So let me see if I can help. You know, it's remember that General Flynn is just a piece of this puzzle. He's a big, important piece, and he's the one that has been making the news because they have dragged his case out for so long. We're learning now that the FBI actually wanted to drop the FBI. The case agents wanted to drop the charges against General Flynn because both of the agents that interviewed him in the White House, the interview in which he allegedly lied to the FBI, said that they didn't think he lied. That's what they reported. And somehow that was changed. On the report, it was changed. And so then later on, it became the case was dragged out and dragged out. The FBI was going to drop the charges within the first few months of the investigation. And some memo now we see was written that said, McCabe, don't drop that case because the Seventh Floor doesn't want you to. Well, Seventh Floor is Comey and the leadership. So they were determined to prosecute him. Remember when they went in to interview him, we have a memo now that says, shall we get him to lie or should we charge him with the Logan Act? What should we do to try to get him out? Which, of course, when you go in for investigation, the FBI is just there. They are to discover what's the truth in a criminal investigation. They are not there to do the political bidding of some political party. When a person has not committed a crime and done anything wrong, you're not supposed to create a crime, so to give you an excuse to remove them, but that's what they did. But now we're learning so much more about the entire Russia so-called collusion. I want to make sure that I equip you at least with some details so that you can have an understanding of it. Just last week, then, these secret testimonies, remember during the impeachment hearings, Adam Schiff kept conducting these behind-closed-door, shut-off, off-the-record investigations, interrogations, questioning, whatever, with people under oath. Now, when people under oath, they tend to, feel like they need to be honest, because if they're not honest, they are perjuring themselves. General Flynn was not charged with perjury. It's different. Perjury is when you're under oath. They accused him of lying to the FBI, which means in the conversation, what that actually meant for Flynn was that his recall of a call, several conversations he had with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador, he didn't have a transcript like they had, because they had illegally gotten his phone call transcript, one of them, from Kislyak. So he's trying to remember, and there was a contradiction. It was nothing more than that. He did not lie. That's why the two agents who interviewed him in that moment wrote that neither of them thought that he had lied. And yet they created a situation where they made it seem as though he lied and forced him out of fear that they were going to go after his son to plead guilty to a lie he didn't tell. That's basically how I would explain it, the clearest that I can. All right, so back to now the impeachment of the president in the House and these behind closed doors transcripts. Now, enter Richard Grenell, who was the ambassador to Berlin, but he's been appointed to be temporary director of national intelligence. So in that capacity, he has just these are my words, burning the house down. He is reorganizing. He has declassified all these documents. And so I'll tell you how the left is responding in a second. I mean, Trace Gallagher hinted at it, but I'll let you hear some of their things they want to say. But I want to tell you what actually happened. 53 declassified transcripts, and that includes, the Corey Lewandowski Dan Coats, Ben Rhodes, Andrew McCabe, James Clapper, you know, everyone that's been involved. They did these interviews in the basement. I'll give you an idea of just what we are finding out now from those transcripts as best I can. For instance, James Clapper, let's just pick his. James, again, was the one that went on television and said, let's see, I really do wonder whether the Russians have something on him, meaning President Trump. He said, what a great case officer Vladimir Putin is. He knows how to handle an asset, and that's what he's doing with the president. He also said the Russians meddled, and successfully so, in the election of 2016 that cast doubt upon the legitimacy of that election. There's a whole bunch more. He says what we have here is a case of collusion. Now, he's saying all of that on television, but what do you think he said under oath in that basement that the transcripts of with Adam Schiff didn't want to release? He said, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or somebody in it was plotting or conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election. Guess who else said that under oath? John Brennan. He did the same thing. He hadn't seen anything that comported that there was any Russian collusion or that Trump had colluded with the Russians. That's what he said behind closed doors, John Brennan, this current CIA director. But when he got in front of the cameras on CNN, this is what he said. He knows that Russia interfered on his behalf. He really is hoping that his pal Vladimir is going to come through once again. He called publicly on the Russians to find Hillary's emails. Collusion means cooperating. I equate it to the betrayal of one's nation, aiding and abetting, giving comfort to the enemy. On October 19, the champagne corks were going to be popping in Moscow. This is what they said on CNN, while privately, behind closed doors, they said they saw no evidence of collusion. And that applies to Susan Rice. It applies to Ben Rhodes, who was National Security Advisor under President Obama, who also testified. They all said, Susan Rice said, to the best of my recollection, there wasn't anything smoking. There were some things that gave me pause, but I don't recall intelligence that I would consider evidence to that effect. So under oath, they testified that they hadn't seen anything, that there was nothing. But in front of the cameras, they spun it like crazy and created on CNN and other outlets this lie that Trump had been colluding with the Russians, that Russia wanted him to be elected. We have found out some other information that will just amaze you. Okay, so let's see if I can make this clear. Behind closed doors, there was someone else who was interrogated. His name is Sean Henry. He is the president of CrowdStrike. Now, stay with me for a second. This really goes to the heart of what I said to you many, many times, and I want to repeat it. Remember that before the election of November 2016, the DNC had their email hacked by someone. It wasn't the DNC. It was actually John Podesta, who was Hillary Clinton's campaign, the head of her campaign. His email were hacked, and we saw all kinds of horrific things. We talked about that a lot. That's where we got that that they were having this dinner that where they were serving. I can't even remember the name of it. Spirit dinner. It was like a mixture of breast milk and semen. It was just horrific. It was like something demonic. That's where that email came from. But of course, there were a lot of other email that were very damning. So the Democrats said that the DNC server, Democratic National Committee server, had been hacked, but they wouldn't let the FBI go in and investigate. They said, no, we'll hire our own entity. We will hire, we choose CrowdStrike. So CrowdStrike comes out with a statement saying that they looked at the DNC server and it was the Russians that hacked the DNC server. So that's what James Comey went with. He didn't send the FBI in, but it must be true. CrowdStrike said that. Now we know Sean Henry, under oath, in that same basement interrogation room, said they didn't find any evidence that the Russians had hacked the DNC server. No evidence whatsoever. The entire thing has been an absolute lie. There's more to say about CrowdStrike. You remember the Mueller investigation based their entire reason for being on the Russian collusion, on the fact that Russians had hacked the DNC server. None of it was true. They knew it wasn't true. We have been had. Talk about a hoax. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. 64-year-old Gregory McMichael and 34-year-old Travis McMichael have been arrested and charged with murder and aggravated assault in the shooting death of Ahmaud Arbery. Arbery was killed on February 23, 2020, but no arrests were made in the more than 2 months that followed. Two separate district attorneys recused themselves from the case. Finally, it was assigned to District Attorney Tom Durden of Hinesville, Georgia. He referred the case to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation for independent review. That referral led to the McMichaels' arrest and charging. Tom Durden will now present the case to a grand jury for possible indictment.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. Dr. Anthony Fauci, in his role as head of the infectious diseases bureaucracy in the federal government, gave $7.6 million in grants to the Wuhan lab that gave us the coronavirus. He funded research that was designed to take bat viruses, which were not transmissible to humans, and genetically engineer them until they could infect human beings. The stated purpose was to create a virus they could study so they could stop it. This research was so obviously risky that Barack Obama terminated it in 2014, and 200 prominent scientists published a statement condemning it as too dangerous because of the possibility the pathogen could accidentally escape and start a global pandemic. Our intelligence services now believe the pandemic was started by a bat virus that escaped from the Wuhan lab.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The U.S. House of Representatives has become, of late, a ghost house. Speaker Nancy Pelosi has ruled out its reconvening on the grounds that the COVID-19 pandemic has made doing so unsafe. This arrangement allows her effectively to dictate legislation rather than allow Congress as a whole to participate. Another upshot has been to prevent opportunities for needed bipartisanship in response to the threats posed to our nation by the Chinese Communist Party. That effect was on display when House Republicans tried to forge a task force on China with their Democratic counterparts, only to be rebuffed. Apparently, Speaker Pelosi and her caucus are determined to do nothing that would advance the country's interests if that might reflect well on President Trump. Such poisonous partisanship is always reprehensible, but it is utterly unacceptable and perilous in time of war, like now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
So there's clear evidence on the issue of collusion, and this adds to that body of evidence. There's ample evidence of collusion in plain sight, and that is true.
Have Democrats found any evidence of collusion?
Yes, we have. You can see evidence in plain sight on the issue of collusion, pretty compelling evidence. And there is significant evidence of collusion. There is ample evidence, and indeed there is, of collusion of people in the Trump campaign with the Russians. I think there's plenty of evidence of collusion or conspiracy. All of this is evidence of collusion. There is significant evidence of collusion between the campaign and Russia.
All right, so that was Adam Schiff. His theme, you know, for the last, what, how many years? 3.5 now? It's just been amazing. And of course, that's why Nancy Pelosi chose him to lead the impeachment inquiry, because Adam is just an incredible liar. He actually went on with Tucker Carlson this past year, and Tucker had him, you know, face to face and tried to pin him down. And I thought it'd be interesting for you to hear that exchange. Let's listen.
Look right into the camera and say, I know for a fact the government of Vladimir Putin was behind the hacks of John Podesta's email.
Absolutely. The government of Vladimir Putin was behind the hacks of our institution and the dumping of information.
Of John Podesta's email.
Not only in the United States,
email.
But also in Europe.
Okay, you're not, you know what, you're dodging.
And Tucker,
no, look and say, are, I know they did. John Podesta's email, they hacked
and
those.
And I think that Ronald Reagan will be rolling over
Ronald Reagan,
grave
fine, Ronald Reagan,
and you're carrying water for the Kremlin.
I'm not carrying water for the Kremlin. You're making, look, you're a sitting member of Congress on the Intel Committee, and you can't say they hacked.
You're gonna have to move your shoulder to RT Russian television.
So he accuses Tucker Carlson is a Russian asset now. That's what he's saying. It's amazing. And now that all these transcripts have been released, with him kicking and screaming by Richard Grenell, now we know what the truth. Now we really do know. We've known because, you know, a lot of our people that we trust on Capitol Hill, like Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and others, have been telling us for a long time. They've been crying out for release the transcripts over and over again. So we kind of know, they've sort of given us indication that it will, and Devin Nunes, that it'll tell the truth. Just release them. You'll see. This is all a lie. Adam Schiff is lying. All of these people are lying. So the transcripts are released. Well, how do you think Adam Schiff responded to that? How do you think he responded to the release of all those transcripts? What do you think? Let's see. Well, he said, basically, all the transcripts show that there was indeed a conspiracy with the Russians to elect Donald Trump as president. They prove what we've been saying all along. Well, they don't prove. They prove nothing like that. It's an absolute lie. It is a sick, sick, horrendous lie. It's just like, have you ever had a child who lied like that? Like, you know, you saw them take the cookie out of the cookie jar, and yet they stand there and tell you, I didn't take it. No, I didn't take it. I mean, it's lying to a new level, but that's exactly what happened. So how is the left and how is the media handling this? Because they've been repeating these lies over and over again. They have a whole massive universe of people, at least half of America, who seems to believe what they've been saying. So how do they reverse course? How do they say, oops, you know what? We were wrong. We've been lied to. We apologize. We've been misreporting. This is what the transcripts actually say. All the people that have been on our network saying that there was Russian collusion under oath said there wasn't, that the Russians did not hack the DNC server, that the Russians did not try to help Trump win the election. Actually, they were colluding with Hillary Clinton through the fake phony Russian dossier. That's the truth of it. What they said, what we said on our broadcast through these experts, was the exact opposite of what actually happened. Is that what they said? Oh, no, that is not what they said. This is clip five.
President Trump and his top aides have been routinely ignoring the truth and pushing phony conspiracy theories.
The president seems to be saying that this was a case of entrapment, that Michael Flynn was essentially pressured into line. What is your response?
I think that's hogwash.
You know, there are all kinds of conspiracy theories about how he was entrapped.
The FBI agents didn't do anything wrong here. So I think that's important, because there are a lot of sort of conspiracy theories.
They all work together. And, you know, the Fox News people in the White House fuel these sort of rumors.
Do they send these around with fax machines? They come up with these conspiracy theories and they send them around on fax machines.
They should just knock it off and realize that their ridiculous conspiracy theories are going to be knocked down.
Stop. Stop with the conspiracy theories.
So I think that loud sound you heard at about 12:30 Eastern was the sound of 10,000 conspiracy theories by the Trump defenders exploding.
The sound you hear is a million conspiracy theories exploding.
I could call them the Trumpets. All over the country, their heads were blown up.
Here's another conspiracy theory that has been blown to bits.
Trump talking points and right-wing media conspiracies demolished.
Poor Michael Flynn. He was duped.
It's so embarrassing. You know, when you push all your chips to the middle of the table, you better be sure you got a good hand.
Yep. The FBI broke standard protocol in the way that they came in and ambushed General Flynn.
She knew better. Wrong.
All right, so there you go. A lot of that was CNN, but not all. And this is how they're responding. They're doubling down. So here we are left with this, the same problem we've had for the last 3.5 years, that half of the country is clueless, really. The judge in the Lieutenant General Flynn case, remember his outburst when he accused General Flynn of treason in the courtroom? And now understand that General Flynn, the Justice Department has dropped the charges against General Flynn, but the judge himself, because this is in the judicial system, has to actually stop this case. Now, the attorney prosecuting General Flynn has resigned. Van Grack is his name, and he has a whole trail of things that he did that should be, actually, he should be disbarred by what he's done. Refusing to allow evidence into the courtroom, blocking it, stuff that would have proven that General Flynn was innocent. Andrew Van Grack is his name. He's resigned. In fact, my understanding is he's resigned from a lot of his Justice Department cases. He's part of the deep state in the Justice Department. Okay, so this has happened, and yet we have our friends and our family members who will not know about this because they're not watching. Fox is there. If you're going to find the truth, it's going to be on Fox. It's not going to be anywhere else. Now, Catherine Herridge is now at CBS, so I don't know how that's going to affect their coverage. I hope it's a good thing. I hope they bring their world back to covering what's true and what isn't. But you really can't know for sure. So, but still, as I said to you earlier, the truth is powerful. And so we tell the truth. We also know that General Barr's not stopping this. We have the second report that's going to be coming out. By the way, many people are saying, God bless Attorney General Barr. God bless him, because you know he's at this point in his life where he doesn't need this. He was already retired. He's already put in a lot of time for his country. He has a family, and yet now, of course, they're going to come after him with a vengeance, and yet he proceeds. May God bless and protect him. And the same thing with President Trump. So as we pray, we need to pray for God's protection on these people who have shown uncommon courage, including General Flynn. All right, so now, of course, interestingly enough, President Obama is now speaking up. Now, surely you know, and we have touched on it, but I haven't really landed on it hard, that Barack Obama had to know about all of this. There's no way that the FBI director and the parts of the Justice Department and this intricate web, the CIA director would, and the British intelligence would be doing all of these things to take down a sitting president. Think about that. That is treason. To try to undermine and take down a sitting president without doing it in the course of the democratic process, to take that upon yourself, to try to manipulate and destroy his reputation, to try to push a phony dossier, which they knew was a lie, which not only defamed him, I remember the very day I told you with this microphone about that dossier, and I will repeat that I told you what it said, and I said to you at the time, before I knew anything about it, this can't be true. This is ridiculous. Who would believe even the way this is written, the way they put the narrative together? This is just silly. They said that President Trump, had gone to this hotel room in Moscow and had hired hired prostitutes, and that they were urinating on the bed that Barack and Michelle Obama had allegedly slept on. That was the nut of it. I mean, there was more to the dossier, but that was the nut of it. Really? I mean, Donald Trump has done a lot of immoral things in his lifetime. We know probably most of them. They've probably been made public. But that just doesn't sound like, that's ridiculous. So that was the nut of the dossier that they used to try to bring him down. By the way, so President Obama is now speaking up, but he's allegedly not speaking up, but he's speaking up. He spoke to 3,000 of his closest friends on a phone call. And, of course, it was leaked to the press. We all know. We all know, wink and a nod. It was leaked to the press on purpose. But I wanted you to hear what the president had to say, former, because he's getting kind of nervous. Let's play clip 12.
The degree to which the news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn. And the fact that there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who's been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free. That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. And you know, when you start moving in those directions, it can accelerate pretty quickly, as we've seen in other places. So I am hoping that all of you feel the same sense of urgency that I do. You know, whenever I've campaigned, I've always said, this is the most important election, especially, obviously, when I was on the ballot. Yeah, that always feels like it's the most important election. This one, I'm not on the ballot, but I am pretty darn invested. We got to make this happen.
Yeah, so that's the president, Jonathan Turley. I'll let Jonathan, who is a liberal Democrat, respond. I could respond, but let me just say what Jonathan says in response to that statement by Barack Obama to 3,000 of his closest friends, who, according to Jonathan, a private call from former, quote-unquote, private, from former President Barack Obama just happened to be leaked to Michael Isikoff. Strange, isn't it, how this leak parallels leaks during the Russian investigation that also went to Isikoff for information, seemingly meant to undermine Donald Trump? The same reporter who was leaked to about Carter Page, almost as if there's a pattern there, and we're seeing it once again. But then Jonathan gets into the details of this. He said, President Obama is being quoted on Flynn saying there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who has been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free. It is a curious statement. First and foremost, Flynn was not charged with perjury. And that's an important distinction. Perjury is something you do under oath in a courtroom or privately in a deposition. You perjure yourself if you've taken an oath, if you lie under oath. Flynn did not do that. He was entrapped by these FBI agents in his own office two or three days after taking possession of that office, just still getting his papers in order, not knowing he was being interrogated, just having a chat with these guys he thought were his friends, and both of whom, which went back and wrote their 302s and said that they did not think Flynn had lied. But later, the seventh floor, directed by Comey, decided that he had. They changed the 302s. Lisa Page rewrote it. Peter Strzok wrote it. We still have not seen the original 302. Allegedly, it's lost. We're just not sure where that original report of that interaction went. The FBI just can't seem to find it. But we do know now, because of these exposés and all the further texts and stuff that have been released by Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, that both of them rewrote the original 302, and Lisa put the final touches on it. And that was the one that claimed that he had lied in the interaction. This is how pathetic it is. And so we know that President Obama was involved in this. We know that he met with James Comey and James Clapper and the head of the CIA, John Brennan, and Susan Rice and others in the Oval Office before this interrogation of Michael Flynn ever took place. They discussed the Logan Act. This is that old act about that had never prosecuted anyone with. They sort of brainstormed about how to get Flynn. Obama is very, very involved in this, and that's why he is nervous and he is speaking up. So there you go for today. That's a good Monday. Here we go for the rest of the week. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.